Linda, a Centenary Development Enabler for Baptists Together.
And I'm Helen Cameron, Research Fellow at the Centre for Baptist Studies at Regent's Park College, Oxford. Together, we are the co-leaders of Project Violet.
Welcome to Season 2 of the Project Violet podcast. Project Violet is a research project investigating women's experiences in ministry whilst developing women ministers. We are trying to understand better the theological, missional, and structural obstacles women ministers face and identify ways forward.
In this second season, we will introduce you to some of the women who have taken part in the project and the research they have done.
We hope that listening to these episodes will help you engage with the findings of the project, which can be found on the Project Violet website.
Today, I'm speaking with Sarah Crane. Welcome to the Project Violet podcast, Sarah.
Thank you.
Perhaps I'd like you could start by explaining what your current ministry role is.
So I am the head of chaplaincy at Milton Keynes University Hospital. And as part of that, we also cover our local hospice and a local mental health unit.
Wow, that already sounds like quite a big job. For people who haven't come across a hospital chaplain, could you just say briefly what they do?
Well, in one sense, it's really simple. We spend our time talking to people around the hospital, patients, families, staff, but talking at a depth that I think the training that someone like myself brings means that they're comfortable with the deep things of life, comfortable with the existential struggle, comfortable with pain and suffering in a way that actually the system is not very comfortable with. And the system seeking to fix people. And that's quite a natural thing in healthcare in most cultures, actually. But chaplains come alongside people to help give them space to process their experiences. And hopefully, as a trained listener, a trained and pastoral carer, to be able to be an accompanier in making sense of those things and in acknowledging that lots of things don't make sense to us from a human perspective.
Thank you for that. And so your role is as team leader of the chaplains in the hospital. Can you just again explain a bit about what that involves?
Well, in one sense, it means that I have to take responsibility for everything, which has its moments. I guess what it means is I get the joy of seeing the team grow, and I've been able to appoint people and see them progress and develop beyond their roles here. And that's wonderful. It means that in a way, I guess what people imagine perhaps hospital chaplains do is that we spend all day out on a ward visiting patients. And that is a part of our job. But for me, it's quite a small part of my job because I'm also sorting out contracts. I'm sorting out financial stuff. I'm sorting out the kind of management of teams. So I've got three paid staff, but then I've got three other chaplains that support our wider team. I've got two Roman Catholic priests. I've got 14 volunteers, and I have to manage all of those people. I have to manage the training that we offer and how we help people to understand our role. But also, all the time I've been here 10 years this year, and partly because of stuff I've done in the past, I've had a real interest in supporting staff. So I lead all the debriefing in the trust that helps people to process the psychological impact of incidents and do lots of kind of what people might consider soft stuff that hopefully builds positive culture, encourages people to seek support, and just, I hope, creates space for people to be open and honest about who they are. And then as a manager, there's all those inevitable meeting moments, aren't there, that are sometimes a joy and sometimes quite tedious, as life can be.
Thank you for that. It's just really interesting to hear your role in building a positive culture. That sounds such a positive thing to do as part of ministry, perhaps not very tangible, but that's a really interesting thing you've highlighted there.
Yeah, I mean, I think as a chaplain, we have a unique power, and part of the power is partly about role. I mean, at this point, I'm a senior member of staff, but I wasn't when I started. But being able to encourage people to do the right thing, being able to encourage people to look after each other. And that's partly because I believe in the values of love and kindness. But even if you look at it from a hard financial perspective, we know that people are able to do more if they feel supported. And actually in healthcare, there's some brilliant research around the impact on mortality of incivility between staff. So there's a brilliant campaign called Civility Saves Lives, and it evidences that where people are dealing with incivility in teams, more patients die. And so I think it's a win-win then, positive healthcare culture. And I think it's something chaplains should be at the heart of, because whatever faith or belief community a healthcare chaplain might come from, it really links with our values of our profession.
Thank you. Thank you. That's really enriching to hear that. I'm wondering now if I can take you back to the beginning of your ministry and ask you about how you came to be a Baptist minister.
Well, I'd say in some ways by accident, because it wasn't something I'd considered. And it was something that the minister of my home church, Clive Jarvis, really encouraged me about. And I basically told him he was being ridiculous. So I hope he listens to this, because he always laughs at me about this. But I went to Spurgeon's to do their theology one day a week course, because that was what interested me. And I worked part time for my local church, and I did a couple of other jobs to have a bit, you know, to afford to live simply with my mum and dad. But as time went on, I felt that I was actually being a bit disobedient. And I was quite keen to become a primary school teacher, and I was about to apply to do that as I was coming up to kind of nearly the last year of my degree. And I was sat at the ordination of a friend, and someone was reading from, I should have thought about this before, shouldn't I? Someone was reading from John 21, you know, where Jesus says to Peter, feed my sheep. Mm. And I felt, and I haven't felt this way many times in my life, I really felt kind of pricked by that and thinking, yeah, I'm not doing what I'm gifted to do. I'm trying to do something that feels safe and comfortable, something really hard, but something that felt like what had been a plan all along. And I thought, oh, I'm going to have to do this. So I explored that and was able then to kind of enter ordained ministry quite slowly by going to be minister in a church in Southend in a team, and then kind of going back and filling in the gaps and then being ordained several years later.
Thank you. That's a really fascinating journey. And there's so many different routes the different women who've spoken to me have had into ministry. So thank you for sharing that. Now, you got involved in the second group of women who came on board as co-researchers in Project Violet. I'm wondering whether you could just say what was the question or issue you looked at?
Well, what I was wondering, so I spent 4 years in a local church in ministry, and then I have now spent nearly 10 years, which seems ridiculous, in an acute hospital, also serving a hospice and mental health unit. And I was wondering what other women's experiences were of the difference between the two, and of how they'd felt in those cultures in terms of being encouraged, being able to grow and being valued for themselves. Because in one sense, the NHS is an enormously kind of equality aware culture. I mean, there's lots of discrimination, but we know that in the